أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. If your brothers and sisters remember, which you probably do, talking about imamah in the Quran. Recite salat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
How far did we get? You could say we're halfway through, or maybe two-thirds, three-fifths through, inshallah. We'll try to finish it up in the coming two sessions tonight and inshallah tomorrow night. We were referring to verse 124 of Surah Baqarah, if you remember. Verse 124 of Surah Baqarah says that Prophet Ibrahim was made an imam after all those tests. He went through a lot of tests. Allah said, now I'm going to make you an imam. So our curiosity was aroused. We asked, what is this imamate all about that Allah is giving him after so much hardship? All those tests. Two verses we had with the same phrasing that shed a little bit of light on what this imamah is all about. Both verses said that an imam guides by the amr. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Guiding by amr. And we said, don't just go straight to the translations of the Quran and be like, okay, guiding by our command, let's go on. Allah commanded them to guide the people. So it was because of Allah's command that they were guiding the people. Let's go on. Of course, that's what prophets do. But yeah, the question that was there was, weren't these prophets who became imams, weren't they guiding by the command of Allah before or not? It shows that there's another type of hidayah out there that Allah gives to those who reach that special rank and who deserve it, to be His link between Himself and the people, when He wants His grace to flow down to them. Okay? That was the conclusion we arrived at. That was the main question. So what is this imam? What is this يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا? Okay? It can't be that normal guidance, because they were guiding before. That's where the other type of guidance comes in. But we were going by verses. We didn't want to guess or anything. So we were still looking. Okay? The first verse I recited was said that Prophet Ibrahim became imam. The other two verses said that people who were imams, prophets who were imams, were also guiding by the amr. Okay, so imamat equals guidance by amr. Or at least one of the main responsibilities of an imam is guidance by amr. And we said this guidance can't be normal guidance. What is guidance by amr, by the way? Two more verses. All of this is according to the thought of the great and late Allama Tabatabai. Recite a salawat for his soul.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Once again, Allama Ta'ala shows us two more verses. Of course, there's lots of verses, but two main key verses that we have in this regard that explain what amr is. What is amrullah? What is that matter that only belongs to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Okay, two verses that said, indeed, only, verily, this is it and none other. My amr, Allah's amr, is this and none other. Innama means verily, only. Amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. So amrullah has to do with saying be and it is. It has to do with creating, with creation. And then the next verse says, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is all, we said this already, we're just repeating. So this saying, be and it is, has to do with malakut of kulli shay. Everything has a malakut side to it. Okay? The malakut of all things is in the hands of Allah. بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Another verse we had, it said, إِنْ وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Our amr is but one, like the blinking of an eye, once, saying be and it is. No gradualism, no time, no space, no limitation, no boundaries. And that's where that big explanation and long explanation of Malakut came in. Okay, what this Malakut is all about, that other side of creation. Now, last night I got a couple questions from the brothers. They were saying, okay, so who's in charge of that other world, which is the Malakut? And I told them that this is what I meant when I said it's two sides of one coin. When we say there's a Malakut and there's a Mulk, there's two sides to this creation. We have access to one side of it, this material side of it. Doesn't mean that there's another world independent of this world. Okay, no, it's the same thing. Okay? Just to explain a little bit more, just in case you might have questions still in your mind. When we want to define, for example, a human being, what do we say? What is a human being? They'll tell you that the human being is a mammal that can speak, for example. Just saying, for example. A mammal that can speak. Haywanun natiq, they say. Those of you who might be a little bit acquainted with the logical stuff out there. Haywanun natiq, a human being who can speak or whatever. Does existence lie in the definition of the human being, for example? Or any other thing that's on the face of the planet, in the universe? When we want to define the human being, do we say the human being is an existence that's a mammal that can speak? No. The existence is on one side. We don't care about the existence. We want to define what the human being is. If he's existent right now or non-existent, we don't care about that. Okay, that definition of the human being is on one side. The existence of the human being is something else. But when we have a human being out standing in front of us, is it two things? No, it's one thing. The human being. He has an existence and he's a mammal that speaks, for example. An animal that speaks, for example, a mammal. There is two sides to it. His existence and his witness. Right? But nonetheless, it's one person, one object that we have in front of us. Same thing with the rest of creation. When the Quran says, Immaculate is Allah who in whose hands lies the malakut of all things, which means that everything we see has a malakut side to it, doesn't mean that there's two things really. There's one of us here, and then there's one of us, my Siamese twin, living in the malakut that I've never heard of. He's probably lecturing there too. No, that's not what is meant. That's not what is meant. It's one entity. Okay? This is just a little clarification. Surah Zukhruf, verse 84. This same problem came up for others. The Quran says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. It's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is a God in the heavens and is a God on earth. So if someone came to either the Prophet or one of the Imams, he said, that means that there's two gods. He's a God over there and he's a God over here. He said, no. See, that's not... He's a God over there, he's a God over here. It's just talking about different aspects of him. He's a God over there, he has lordship over there, he has lordship over here. Two aspects of the same being. One being though, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the heavens, He's the Lord of the earth. I don't think it needs that much explanation. Moving on. So what is this hidayah? We moved our way forward through the verses, through the help of the verses, and we figured, and it was became clear to us that there's a special type of guidance happening that has to do with the malakut of all things. When it says Yahduna bi'amrina, it's as if the Quran is saying Yahduna bil malakut. And that's what Isal ila al-matlub means that I explained yesterday. To actually kind of take the hand of the person that's trying to be on the straight path, to try to take his hand and take him to the destination. Help him a little more, give him a little extra push. Without contradicting his free will, of course. Because if free will goes out one door, then adab and reward and all of that will go out too. Okay, free will has to be there. But it's always better to have someone walking next to you when you're on the straight path. to take your hand puts you at that next level when you deserve it. And as I said, it's more general than they say. It's not just the isal ila al-matlub, it's this person, this imam, is the link between Allah's grace and the people. And that's what, and this explains all of our ziyarat, how they speak of the imams. This was all stuff that I said last night. And some ulama, I've even seen, they've written this in their books. They say, when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and you've heard the whole argument of, wait, aren't we already on the Sirat al-Mustaqim? So why are we asking for اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ again? Some people say, yeah, it means keep us on the straight path. If we weren't on the straight path, we wouldn't be praying. So you're praying, you're on the straight path, keep us on the straight path. There's other justifications, explanations for this verse. There's also one explanation that I've seen, that when it says اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, it's that special hidayah. Allah, we see the straight path and we're on it, but give us that special guidance as well. And that's very nice. It's a very nice point. But you can do your research, a little more research if you want. Think about it more. If you're qualified to come to a conclusion, it's just a theory. But as I said, this verse has to be explained. All right. Moving on to the new discussion. And man, do we run low on time. I hope I can wrap it up. The conditions of this imama, what are they? Okay, that's the question now. A person who is going to be imam, that's so cool. I want to be an imam. Can I be an imam? No, there's conditions. The verses, the verses that we went through before, they mentioned some of the verses actually. Verse 24 of Surah Sajdah, for example. And amongst them, the Bani Israel, we appointed imams guiding by our amr, due to their patience. And they had conviction in our signs. They had yaqeen in our signs. One can say, since they had yaqeen, they had patience. Okay? So the main condition here is yaqeen. Brothers and sisters, there's two types of yaqeen. When you open the Risala Amaliya, okay, the Islamic law books, right there in the beginning, the ulama will tell you. They'll say, when it comes to aqa'id, when it comes to beliefs, and the belief system, you can't do taqlid. Taqlid is for the furu'ah. Right? We've all heard that. You have to have yaqeen when it comes to aqa'id. Yourself. No taqlid there. That's one yaqeen. And then there's another yaqeen. Let me put it like this. Sometimes someone will tell you, I have this very bad toothache, you have no idea, it hurts so much, and then you sympathize, you're like, yeah, I know, it hurts and everything. Sometimes he tells you about the toothache, sometimes you feel that toothache. Okay? There's a difference. Both of them are yaqeen. When he tells you, I have this pain and everything, you become mutayaqin that, yeah, he has this pain and it's a very bad pain, I'm sure it hurts. He's crying, he's wailing, all that. But when you have it yourself, something else. All right? When you feel it, it's something else. The yaqeen that they had was something else. Prophet Ibrahim says to Allah, oh Allah, show me how you resurrect the dead. How you bring them back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, I know it. I have yaqeen, in other words. But you know, when you see it, you have that satisfaction. You know, you gain that tranquility. And you've heard the story where he has to kill those birds and put them on the mountaintops and then call them and they come bi'idhnillah and they're resurrected. This is a yaqeen that depends on seeing malakut. Let me recite a nice verse for you. Surah An'am, verse 75. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. Okay, the yaqeen that Prophet Ibrahim has is a special yaqeen. It's actually seeing the malakut. We showed Ibrahim the malakut so that he can have yaqeen. So a person who has yaqeen like that, a person who sees how Allah is holding everything by its forelock, He'll have patience in the face of everything. We showed Ibrahim the malakut. And then there's a nice point here. Before I get to that point though, someone will say, well, this isn't only restricted to the imams of the prophets. We have other verses in the Quran. Surah A'raf, verse 185. If I remember the Arabic correctly, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُ, or it says, it's like saying that the people, it's encouraging the people to يَنْظُرُ فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The English is, have they not contemplated the malakut of the heavens and earth and whatever things Allah has created? So people can also have access, isn't it? Or as you guys say, in it? Right? No, that's not the case. The verse is saying, يَنْظُرُ فِي مَلَكُوتِ. And this is where it shows, this Arabic shows itself. النَّظَر فِي الشَّيْءِ is different than النَّظَر or رَأْيَ الشَّيْءِ. To see some, رُؤْيَةِ الشَّيْءِ. To see something is different to than pondering over it. That's how the Quran says it though. It says, يَنْظُرُ فِي. That means to ponder over something. Think about the malakut. Where did all this existence come from? Allah is encouraging us, pushing us. He says, look around you. Where did all this come from? The malakut. Look into the malakut of everything. What does the malakut of everything have to do with? It has to do with that initial creation from nothing. That creating with the command of be and it is. Allah is encouraging us. Just think about it. How could all of this existence come into being without someone to start that domino effect? To push that first domino down. But this is different than Prophet Ibrahim, who sees the malakut, is shown the malakut. And then there's another nice point in this verse. And look, see, this is what the ulama teaches us. Even when I was researching this topic like a year ago, up until like 2 days before I came, I was still working on it, off and on. I never came across, I mean, I was reading the verses a lot, but this point never hit me. The verse doesn't say, وَكَذَلِكَ أَرَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ. It doesn't say, we showed Ibrahim the malakut, so now he was like, he becomes of the muqineen, of those who have yaqeen. The verse doesn't say that. كَذَلِكَ نُرِي. My friends here that are in Hawza, what's the difference between Madi and Mudari'? Mudari' denotes continuation. We didn't show Ibrahim and was over. No. We continuously showed and showed and showed when he becomes Imam and the Malakut is shown to him. For him to remain Imam, this Malakut has to keep being shown to him. Okay? Because he is that link. And being that link depends on Malakut. See, we go back up again. We just move up that chain of arguments that we had before. Okay? Guiding by Amr, you have to have access to Malakut. So if you want to guide by Amr, and you're shown the Malakut, but it's over, then you can't be Imam anymore. It's a continuous process. This is, credits go to Ayatollah Jawadi Amri. He points this out. He says, it's not Arayna, it's Nuri. We showed him and continuously showed and showed and showed. The same way, brothers and sisters, the Imams would refer to Surah Al-Qadr sometimes, from what I remember, to prove their imama. تَنَزَّلَ وَلَا تَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ. What's the verse in Surah Al-Qadr? تَنَزَّلَ or تَنَزَّلُوا تَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ, which was originally تَتَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ, and then there's a little rule there that says you can drop the first ta because we don't want two ta's next to each other. تَنَزَّلُوا. So it's a mudari'. Surah Al-Qadr says every night of Qadr تَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Question, do we still have nights of Qadr or not? Of course we do. عَلَى مَن تَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ. After the Prophet, who are the angels coming down on? تَنَزَّلُوا is مُضَارِعُ, تَنَزَّلَ is مَاضِي, is for past tense. تَنَزَّلُوا means now it's still happening. Every night of Qadr, the angels come down. Question, who do they come down on? But we're still pre-Islam. Gotta hold ourselves back a little bit. We'll get to Islam, inshallah. We're still talking about the prophets and imamate in the prophets. Recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa anjil
faraja. So that was one condition, yaqeen. And a yaqeen that has to do with seeing malakut. And that's big stuff. Next one, and this is a very important part of the verse. Verse 124, Surah Baqarah, was what? وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Up till now, we were discussing this part of the verse. And now, the next part of the verse comes in. You see how nice it is? All of what was said so far comes out of this one verse. Has to do with this verse. This verse is what sparked all that and formed that chain all the way down to that malakut that we talked about. Now we're moving on to that second segment of the verse. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. What about my descendants? Prophet Ibrahim knows how high a rank this is. And as I said yesterday, Lady Zahra knew how high a rank this is. Okay? She knew she was going to be the first one to go to Rasulullah after him. So why is she so adamant about protecting Imam Ali alayhi salam? They're not going to kill him. They can't. The Prophet has promised this. What's so important? This wilayah, this imamah. He says, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. This is a very high rank. What about my descendants? I want it for my descendants too. قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Which brings us to the next condition of this imamah. Al-Ibrahimiyya, Al-Qur'aniyya, which is what? Which is Ismah, which is infallibility. But how do we derive this infallibility from this segment of the verse? First of all, we have a term there, La yanalu ahdi al-zalimin. We have two terms, ahdi, covenant, my covenant, al-zalimin. There's points for both of these terms that ulama teach us once again. Let's go to al-zalimin first. Al-zalimin, we all know dhulm. Dhulm is one of those concepts that everyone will understand. Okay? Even the worst of the worst, those who do not believe in any Lord or whatever, on the Day of Judgment, they can be held responsible. Because Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. I inspired to you the good and bad. The least is that dhulm is something that you should understand is bad. Now, so we translate dhulm into what? Oppressing others, right? But sometimes we say, ظَلَمْتُ nafsi, right? I have oppressed myself, I have wronged myself. When do we say that? When we have sinned. When we have sinned, we say, I have oppressed. So there's two meanings to dhulm. The main meaning, of course, is oppression. But sometimes it means and denotes that sinning. Now question, when Allah says, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, which one is meant here? Those who oppress? Or no, those who even sin? Now, let's get help from an usuli principle. التَنَاسُبْ بَيْنَ الْحُكْمِ وَالْمَوْضُوعِ. Okay? Allah, what is He giving? He's giving access to malakut of all things. So that the imam can guide by that malakut. Do you think Allah will give such a high rank to a person who doesn't pray, for example, or doesn't fast, or whatever, but oh my God, he does not hurt even the smallest of creatures. He does not oppress anybody. No one. He's locked himself up in a room. Let's just say it like that. Okay? Locked himself up. No one sees any oppression or harm from him. But he doesn't pray either. He doesn't fast. He doesn't do any of Allah's commands. He doesn't carry any of those out. Allah is going to give him access to malakut. Does it make sense? Common sense is a good thing sometimes to use. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
he says all these hundreds of, or maybe thousands of pilgrims of Hajj, tell them to come back, and those who are coming will wait for them to catch up to us. I want to tell the people that yeah, there was an argument between Khalid ibn Walid and Ali ibn Abi Talib, but please people, Ali is a good guy, be his friend. Common sense, come on. Parenthesis closed. Let me see if I should read this for you. So I'm not going to really explain that much. These two should be enough. That dhalimin here means someone who doesn't sin. Okay? A person who wants to gain malakut of samawat wal ard wa kulli shay, in order to yahdi and guide bil amr and bil malakut, Allah's not going to give it to him if he's lacking in the most basic things. Now moving on, but the bigger question is, what if a person sinned once in his lifetime? Once. Because what does infallibility mean? Never. Once, but now he is the best. He was like 18 years old. She was 18 years old, committed one sin. And that was it. He or she is 85 years old now, and by Allah, he or she has not committed one sin. This is the harder part. And that's what Asma is all about. That first part was easy. Common sense, Allah gave it to us. This part is a little bit more tricky, but it's once again very simple. First of all, same argument that we had there comes here. Allah is giving the malakut. It's huge. Malakut isn't your everyday prize. Okay? Allah won't give it to a person who has sinned even once. Okay? That shows that that person didn't have the capacity. But, if that's not convincing enough, there's a verse that I'll just say in a nutshell, because I don't have time and it's very complicated. It's a very nice argument though. Surah Yunus, verse 35. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعْ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهِدِّي not يَهْدِي يَهِدِّي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. In this verse Allah says, let me say it like this. If I tell you, brother, which one's better? Which one's supposed to happen? For me to follow someone who can guide me or someone who can't guide me, right? That's how you say it, right? If you say this or that, that means there's a little bit of a antithesis between these two. Okay? I've used that word like once in my life. So, you say either this or that. This is going to be the opposite of that. The Quran says, Which one is deserving to be followed? مَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ A person who guides to that, to haqq. Or, it doesn't say a person who doesn't. لَا يَهْدِي It says لَا يَهِدِّي My Talib friends, once again, what's يَهْدِي from? Yeah, but which bab is it? Iftial. It was يَهْتَدِي And then it becomes Yahdadi, and it becomes Yahiddi, and then Yahiddi. Okay? It's Babel Ifti'al. Okay? That means that a person who accepts guidance, receives guidance. Okay? Now let me explain. It says, who are you supposed to follow? A person who guides to Haqq, or a person who, it doesn't say doesn't guide to Haqq. Instead of saying doesn't guide to Haqq, it says a person who is not on the right path unless he is guided by someone else. What does that mean? That means a person who's on the right path, but someone else has put him on the right path, he doesn't guide to haqq. But it wasn't just the Prophet's, Shaykh, are you a ma'soom? No. Shaykh, are you supposedly right now guiding to haqq? Yeah. So what are you talking about? This verse, you're guiding to haqq, but you're not one of those ma'sumin. Answer is, guidance to haqq. Here is a different guidance to haqq. What you said just proves my point. The verse says, who is to be followed? A person who guides to haqq instead of saying the person who, or the person who doesn't, it says this person or this person, a person who's on the right path himself, but someone else has guided him onto this path. Allah hasn't put him on that path. He's not ma'soom. Allah hasn't put him there. Someone else of the prophets even has put him on that path. Which one is to be followed? Which one, excuse me, which one will put you on the right? Which one yahdi ila al-haq? I hope I was able to get through to you. Okay? And then someone will say, but all these people who do tabligh, all of that, they're guiding to haq too. So this verse is saying they're not guiding to haq. Yes, they're not guiding to the haq in the takwini way. The tashri'i, yes. Okay? Or else what would happen was this verse would be wrong. Okay? If the verse was أَمَّا يَهْدِي أَمْ لَا يَهْدِي, then it would be very easy. Okay? But the verse is very intricate. It says the person who guides to haq, or the person who will also guide to haq, but was guided by someone else. This shows that a person who has sinned even once, his guidance isn't straight from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or else he wouldn't even sinned once in his life. Shows that his guidance, if he's on the right path, is from someone else. Is from somewhere else. He's not ma'soom. It's as if this verse is saying, who guides the haq? A ma'soom or a non-ma'soom? Okay? And then that means that this guidance is a special guidance, because we have non-ma'sooms guiding people to haq. It was in a nutshell what I presented right now. I know it might have not clicked for a lot of you, but I'll leave it at that. For those of you who got it, alhamdulillah. Those of you who didn't, it's all right. Let me just end with this story here, in this regard. Allama Tabatabai very simply and nicely puts it. He quotes his ustad. Okay, we're talking about what? That a person that even sins once in his life is not qualified for this covenant of Allah, for this imamah, to guide by the malakut, to be the link between Allah and Allah's grace and inner guidance and the people. Not even once. He relates a nice story, and Ayatollah Jawadi Omri, his also tafsir, relates this story from Al-Mizan. He says, Allama Tabatabai said that my teacher was asked, how does this verse imply infallibility of Zalimin, that second segment? How does it imply Zalimin, the infallibles, infallibility? He said there's four types of people when it comes to sin. Okay? Intellectually, you can only say there's four. One, a person who has sinned all his life and is now sinning as well. He's sinning all the time. One. Two, never sinned in his life. Three, sinned before, but now isn't sinning anymore and is a good person. And four, vice versa. Was a good person, but is now sinning. All right. So we have four. Should I go through it again? Very quickly. Sinned all his life. Never sinned. Sinned before, now hasn't sinned, isn't sinning. Was good before, but is now sinning. Very simple. All right. He says, Allah, we have to see how many of these are knocked out of the equation. When Prophet Ibrahim says, Allah, you're showing me malakut, you're giving me imamah after all of these hard tests. Okay, when Prophet Ibrahim is asking Allah this, do you think when he asks, can my descendants have it? Prophet Ibrahim is a ma'soom, he's never sinned, but he goes through all those tests to gain this rank. Do you think it makes sense for Prophet Ibrahim to ask Allah for this rank for those who are sinners all their life? No. Alright, so there goes one group. Three left. Does it make sense for those guys who were perfect before but now are sinners? Does it make sense? Nope, so there's two left. And in the verse, Allah is knocking one of these out. He says, Al-Zalimeen won't get it. Which one do you think out of these two Allah is knocking out? Those who sinned before even once, or those who never sinned and never will sin? Those two were gone already. Prophet Ibrahim wasn't asking about those two at all. Oh Allah, I'm going to ask you about the worst of my progeny and descendants. Can you give them the best spiritual ranks? Will you give it to them? Allah says, of course not. He's not going to ask Allah for that. Those two were all out already. Two were left. Allah says, out of these two, one remains. Those who have never sinned. Those who are not yahdi illa an yuhda. Those who were guided from the start by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a time, recite a salawat. Very simple. Very simply put. Thank you very much, Allah ta'ala. Or his ustad. Subhanallah. 2 points here before I wrap up. One, the verse says, all right, so now this is how the verse turns out. It says that this covenant does not reach the non-ma'sumeen. And we explain that. Now the question is, what is this ahd? The Quran doesn't say, imamati la yanalu ahdi al-zalimin. It says, ahdi, covenant, any covenant of Allah. It's absolute here. Any covenant, imama, nubuwa, khilafa. Some people say that we are all the khulafa of Allah on this earth. So how come some of us are so bad? The answer is, who says you're khalifatullah? There was one of these ulama, and I said this the other night, remember? I said this, not here, somewhere else, that a person who's a sinner, oppressor, doesn't make sense that he is the khalifa of Allah on the earth. The ulama, some of them, they would get upset when you would ask them this. Tell them that, yeah, we're the khalifas of Allah too on this earth. Allah says, I'm making Adam, I'm going to put a khalifa. Doesn't say all of you guys, Yazid man, you are my khalifa too. No, you have the potential maybe of becoming khalifa, but it doesn't mean all of us are khalifatullah, ATM, at the moment. Right? That's not how it works. Here it says, ahdi doesn't go to those people. Okay? If you want to be khalifatullah, what the verse is apparently saying is that you have to be ma'soom. You have to not be tainted with sin. That's one point. Another point that Ayatollah Jawadi points to, and this is going to be my final point. Recite a salawat. Is that when Prophet Ibrahim says, oh Allah, what about my descendants? It's apparently Allah does grant it to him. He says, it won't reach those guys, dhalimeen, it won't reach them, the non-ma'sumeen. That equals, it reaches the ma'sumeen of your descendants. Okay? This is also one of the implications of the verse. Prophet Ibrahim asks Allah. Allah doesn't say, I'm not going to give it to you at all. He says, I'm not going to give it to the dhalimeen. Okay? You ask me, for example, normal people, if they're talking, oh, can I have some of that? And for my kids... He's like, I won't give it to the bad kids that you have. What does that mean? That the good kids will get it, right? It won't reach the bad guys. Well, that means that it's going to reach the good guys. It implies this at the least, right? So, this proves that all of those who were prophets from Ibrahim's progeny were also imams who were ma'soom. Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa. Prophet Isa goes to Prophet Ibrahim through Lady Maryam. And they used to tell our imams, you're not really from the Prophet's progeny because you're from Lady Fatima, connected to. Okay, recite three salawats. So, what was I saying? Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, all the ma'sumeen from Prophet Ibrahim's descendants and progeny are also imams, according to the verse. Because he says, my descendants, my offspring. And they used to use this against our imams. They say, Lady Fatima, you're connected to the Prophet through Lady Fatima. Why do you keep saying, we are the children of Fatima, we are the children of Fatima? Subhanallah. But this was an argument that they used, the Imams. They said, in the Quran, it says Isa alayhi salam is the son and the offspring of Ibrahim. Prophet Isa didn't even have a father. Prophet Isa is also the son of Prophet Ibrahim. Same with us. And فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. They couldn't say anything after that. And then this moves on. Question. Was our Prophet also a descendant of Ibrahim? Yes, he was. Of course, all the Prophets, they say, of Bani Israel were through Prophet Ishaq. But one Prophet was from Prophet Ismail. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Prophet was from him. Question. Was Imam Hassan from him? Yes. Imam Hussein was from Prophet Muhammad through Lady Fatima, the same way Isa was. All the way to Imam Sahib al-Asri was Zaman, is also from Prophet Ibrahim's progeny. All of this coming out of verse 124 Surah Baqarah. But you have to have that mind for it. The ulama had that. Recite salawat. Assalamu alaykum ya binta Rasulullah, ya Fatima al-Zahra. They say after it was over, Imam Ali alayhi salam, after burying his beloved wife, he stayed at home for a while. Several days he would hardly go out. Eventually it reached this point where the Ashab, they sent Ammar to Imam Ali. Ya Ali, you were the one telling us to be patient in the face of tragedies and hardship. You know, and it's like he was objecting kind of, you know, like, well, I mean, what does Ali alayhi salam say to him in response? He says, Al-faqidatu aziza. You don't understand who I have lost. She was aziz to me. She was the second pillar after the Prophet that I leant on, that I would lean on. They took her from me too. When they were giving ghusl to Lady Fatima to Zahra, in the middle of the night, think about it, in the middle of the night, the sound of water. What is this sound? Ali alayhi salam finishes the ghusl, he calls the children. These are small children. He tells his children to come. هَلَمُّوا وَتَزَوَّدُوا مِنْ أُمِّكُمْ. Come, take provisions of your mother. Because فَهَذَا الْفِرَاقِ. This is the day of separation. وَاللِّقَاءُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. You'll only reunite in Jannah. It's over. The children come, they're crying. And they say a call comes from the sky. Oh, Ya Abul Hassan. Ya Abul Hassan. Irfa'huma anha. Take them back, separate them from their mother. Why? فَلَقَدْ أَبْكَيَا وَاللَّهِ مَلَائِكَةَ السَّمَوَاتِ. They have brought the angels of the heavens to tears. Separate them. These children, on Ashura as well, Abu Abdullah, he didn't get the chance to bid the children farewell. He went to the children, he's saying goodbye. Then arrows came down. He sent them to the tents. This was also a trial by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They weren't even able to bid him farewell. But out of these children that are crying on the body of their mother, there's one they say who cried a lot. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. What secret does he have in his heart? Why is Imam al-Hasan crying so much? They say it was Imam Hassan who was holding the hand of his mother after Fatima al-Zahra had gotten the title of Fadak back. She's walking home with Hassan. She's injured. Hassan is holding her hand. Hassan is acting as her cane. She's walking back. All of a sudden a monster comes, takes the title of Fadak, tears it apart, slaps our mother so hard, they say her face hits the wall. She can't see. She falls face first on the ground. Hassan is there watching. Ya Allah. They say Abul Fadl al-Abbas, he was always frowning in Medina. Abbas means the frowning one. He knows the people of Medina. Abul Fadl al-Abbas has respect for his mother. I will call her his mother, Fatima al-Zahra. That's why on Ashura you feel that Abul Fadl al-Abbas was paying respect to Fatima. How? He goes, he takes the water sack. He goes to Al-Qama, the Sharia. You've heard this story, the water, he picks it up, he throws it back. Some people say Abbas didn't even take water to drink for himself. He takes the water sack, but this time he's not going to go from that same route he took. He's going to go through the palm grove. He has something very, very precious with him. The water sack acts as the heart of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Abbas is not going to fight anyone now. He just wants to get back. I am the expendable of the children of Abu Abdullah. But when he's coming back, it's as if he remembers Fatima. He wants to emulate his mother Fatima. That's why they say, it's as if he remembered Fatima al-Zahra when she was hanging on to the belt of Ali. They struck her arm so much as if they broke it. His arm falls off and is severe. Oh Fatima, assalamu alayki ya Fatima al-Zahra ya madluma. The other arm falls off. He's showing respect. One arm, I want to leave, let go of both my arms. But that's not all that happened to Fatima al-Zahra. Abbas keeps going and going. There was a door, there was a nail in the door of Fatima. They say that an arrow comes, hits him in the eye. Only after though, when the arrows landed on the water sack, it's as if blood is leaving Abbas's heart. Water is pouring out of the sack. The arrow comes onto his eye, this nail in the door. But still, I have to pay more respect to my mother. What happens in the end? It's as if he remembers Fatima when her face hit the wall and fell down. An iron rod comes down on his head. My mother fell face down. I have to fall face down. He has no arms to protect his face. He falls face down to the ground. Ya Allah. Up until then, Abbas had never called Hussein his brother. But when he fell down, it's as if now he's worthy. Ya akha, adrek akha. Hussein darts to his body, but after it's all over, all can Hussein can say, Alan inkasara dhahri وقلت حيلتي ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون صلوات على محمد وآله
صلي على محمد.